Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith, and I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada. We're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And today, Pastor Brian concludes his message, going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, addressing the subject of doing God's work God's way. So let's turn to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Sometimes the Lord would say, leave it alone, worship me, commit it to me, walk in faith, I'll take care of it. Something's coming against your life, circumstances or people, God will deal with it. And sometimes we just need to get out of the way. Because when we're fighting our own battle, the Lord sits in heaven and says, go for it. And when you're done, then I'll take over. And in worship, God would quietly speak to your heart saying, I'm in charge here. I'm with you. And just worship. Put your focus on me. Humble yourself before me. Allow me to work. Step aside and let the power of God work. We need to be reminded of that. I mean, I think we're all like Peter, ready to fight at the wrong time. Ready to do battle in our own strength at the wrong time. We need to have the heart of the Lord. How do you get that? By being close to him, being still, listening to his voice, spending time in his presence. Go with me over to Isaiah chapter 6. We have two more passages. We'll look at Isaiah 6 and then one other passage. We've been through this a number of times and looking at the worship that's going on there in heaven and how God manifests himself and his vision, and he sees him crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And this prophet who was already doing the work of the Lord, he was a godly man, he was already involved in the Lord's service. As he comes into this scenario at verse 5, his immediate response is, so I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. This is an awesome thing about worship. As you worship the Lord, typically what will happen is there'll be a sense of conviction of sin. That's a good thing, because we're sinful. We're coming into the presence of a holy God, and when we acknowledge his holiness, and many of our songs focus on the holiness of God, we realize, I'm not holy. I have failed. I have fallen short. And it's immediately when you acknowledge that as you're in the presence of God. Here the picture says the Lord sent an angel, took a coal, and put it on the lips of the prophet here, and it says your sin is purged. And as soon as a heart would turn to God in repentance and a contrite heart of saying, I'm not right, and I'm not where I want to be, God meets us in mercy. And the interesting thing, and this is what's the mind blower for me, is God doesn't only do it once. He doesn't only do it on Wednesday night and Sunday, and then Wednesday and then Sunday when we got, he does it week after week, day after day, time after time. And he meets us with his mercy over and over and over again. And it's overwhelming to be worshiping God and realize, oh Lord, I failed you again. And you ask for that cleansing and he gives it to you over and over and over again. See, in our perspective is, well, God has this container of mercy. Here's my sin that's written across that I commit each time. And God takes a little bit of his mercy, dips it out, pours it on. Okay, you got forgiveness. And we picture that mercy, well, it's going down. And this is the 10,000th time I've asked him for forgiveness for this, and it's getting down to the barrel. But as you worship the Lord, you realize that his mercy is just as much as when he ever started with, as his mercies are new every morning. And the Lord blows us away with his mercy. And when that happens, you are not going to be able to keep that to yourself. You're going to have to tell people. As God touches your life, it can't be contained in a congregation or as an individual. And that's what happens with the prophet, because now he starts listening to the Lord. The Lord's having a conversation saying, who's going to go for us? And the prophet says, here I am, send me. And why is that? Well, because God touched his life, and now he's saying, I need to take this vision of God's holiness and his awesome power and his mercy and bring it to others. See how worship is the stage, is the foundation for work. It has to be that way. You have to be commissioned by the Lord, and it has to be because God's worked in you. Now you have something to give out. Now what happens if you start drifting away from worship and devotion from the Lord, you go to the source to draw something out, but there's no work there. It's not fresh. You just have to give old stuff. Kind of dry. People start becoming irritating to you because you're not filled with the Spirit of Christ. Christ was meek. He was gentle. Look how tender he was to people. How do you be such to people? By nature, we're not. We're kind of self-seeking, self-centered, and we want things our way. And this people are in the way. It's like the disciples. The multitudes, they said, Jesus, we're tired. Send these people away. And he says, no, you give them something to eat. We don't even have anything. I mean, they just wanted to get rid of the people. Jesus, no, send them in orderly groups and we're going to do something here. He was concerned about them. He says, lest they would faint on the way. That we need that continual, fresh filling of the presence and nature of Christ in and among us. And worship is a catalyst for that, is one of the ways. I think a primary way, not the only way, but a primary way that this happens. And then, in that also, God then begins to speak to the prophet, and he gives him clear direction for his ministry. And that's what's found in verses 9 through 13. And one of the things that he tells him is I'm going to send you to people that aren't going to listen to you. Their hearts are dull of hearing, and you're going to speak, but they're not going to hear. I mean, who wants that sort of ministry? And if you've been given a ministry where God says no fruit's going to be born, you better be in the presence of the Lord, because you're going to give up quick, aren't you? I mean, it's hard to minister when there's opposition. It's impossible in our own strength and our own might. So God has to continually renew us, refresh us, forgive us of our sins so we could bring that mercy out to people that don't want to hear about it. I remember when I first got saved, if someone rejected the gospel, I'd say, oh, it's in rotten hell then. That's your fault. Jesus had to say to his disciples when they wanted to call fire down on the spirit, he says, you don't know what spirit you're of. We could get way off. We're trying to do things in our own. We need to be in the presence of God and discover his nature and have a, not a literal vision of him, but we're spending time in his presence, learning of his nature and his character. Jesus said, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. We need that as we minister to people. And Jesus met a lot of opposition, didn't he? And he was just so tender. He rebuked the Pharisees because they were religious, prideful people, but there was a meekness about Jesus Christ that drew sinners as well as children to him. Where do we get that? We don't have it. We need to get it from the Lord. And how's that sustained? Okay, you could do it for a week, but what about for the rest of your life? Ministering and taking care of people, whether they're going to be responsive or not responsive. If God's called you to do it, you're going to need to draw from a well, from a source. He pours it in, and then you're able to give it back out. But if it's not happening, being poured in, you have nothing to give to people. Nothing that's real genuine of the power and ministry of the Spirit of God. God's work, God's way, you must be a worshiper. Let's close with Exodus chapter 3. And this is where God meets Moses. I hope this will encourage your heart as we put this together. Because he says, if you notice in verse 2, it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So it was the angel of the Lord that was in that bush that spoke to Moses. A lot of people have never seen that in the Bible. The angel of the Lord also appears in the book of Genesis, appearing to Abraham as well. It's the Lord. Because this angel says, I am who I am. He reveals his nature and character as the eternal God. So when you see the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, in the Bible many times it is, it's God himself there. And he's going to speak to Moses, and he says the same thing that he said to Joshua in verse 5. If you look at Exodus 3, verse 5, it says, and he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Kind of interesting, the same message. Same message that he gave to Joshua, he gave earlier to his leader, Moses. I think some of the same lessons are needing to be learned, no matter who you are, no matter when you're going to do the work of the ministry. Some things are just foundational. And the thing I want to draw out from this aspect of Moses, if you look at Moses' life, God raised him up. God called him to be a deliverer of his people. And what did Moses do? He immediately went out and tried to deliver God's people. Ended up killing somebody, burying him, and then fleeing off to Midian. For 40 years now, he's been away from what he thought was his calling. And, you know, we have to realize these people were human in the Bible. Something must have died in Moses. Well, I don't know what in the world got in my mind that I was going to be deliverer of the Jews here. Who do I think I am to have that calling? After 40 years, I mean, I'm just turning 40 in December. That's a long time. I'm not saying I'm old, but 40 years is a long time for someone's life. And then God recalls him and says, I'm sending you. And what I want you to see here in being in the presence of the Lord, there's something of the mercy of God that covers our failures, that covers the past, things where we've messed up. Everyone has skeletons in the closet that the Lord only knows about. There's failures that we've committed before the Lord, and we think that's it. You know, I've ruined my life, I've ruined my ministry, and I failed too big this time. And then God would call us as we're in his presence, as we're worshiping him, saying, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. I've still called you. This is what I have for you. Now let's do it in my strength. Let's do it my way. Let's do it in my timing. And that mercy is just so overwhelming. And believe me, maybe it's magnified in my own heart because I have to stand before people week in and week out and have the incredible privilege of teaching God's word, which nobody deserves. Nobody's qualified to do. But God meets me in his mercy over and over and over again. He says, I've still called you. I like to check in every once in a while. You know, you still want me, Lord? And he's always there with his mercy. And I've made blunders and I failed in areas, and God still keeps calling me back to himself. And so often this happens as I'm spending time with the Lord, whether it's here at the church in a congregational setting or just that own intimate time with the Lord. The Lord's mercy comes back to me. Just forget about the past. Press forward. Move on. Yeah, you messed up there. There's a repentance. There's forgiveness. But let's move forward in the things of the Lord. And if you're going to be used by the Lord, you're going to have those seasons where you've just messed up so miserably that you think that's it. God's going to cast me away. And he comes back to you and he ministers his mercy and grace to you. This is just survival. I mean, just to survive in the ministry, these are the things that take place, let alone to be fruitful and abounding in the work of the Lord.